Greetings, men, women, and Jedi. This is Mike Joseph, otherwise known as your host, Mandalore the Esquire. And you are on Tales, Legends, and Theories on the Go. We are so far a Star Wars-centric podcast centered on, well, you saw the title when you clicked on this, right? Hopefully not accidentally. We are going to talk about tales, famous tales within the Star Wars canon. We're going to go over legends, as that is a very, very important resource for us to look at when examining the current canon and just the overall influence of Star Wars upon the fandom, and just theories. As you are well aware, and as you probably do, most certainly I'm not the only one, but you know, it's just fun to see where the franchise can go from here. It is fun to see, you know, as unfortunate as it was that Disney had to, you know, erase the original extended universe from canon, in a way, it is sort of liberating in that now there's a sense of mystery again when it comes to the future of Star Wars, right? So we may go to planets, we may go to places, we may see events that we've never seen or dreamt of before, or Disney may very well incorporate or just recanonize across the board things from Legends. And that that sort of makes me excited. And I would love to discuss that. Plus, even the dust is somewhat settled now between what happens between movies, or even what happens between events in movies, there's still a lot of, you know, room to speculate about what happened or what could have happened. For instance, for the longest time, between you had Star Wars Episode 2, I'm talking about Attack of the Clones, and then Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, nowhere there do you get Ahsoka, Tano, Anakin's apprentice. You never get Rex. You never see Rex. You never see, in a nutshell, all of the adventures that you see in the Clone Wars movie and TV show. And yet, somehow, that exists. Somehow, in that 3-year period of time, so much has happened, which is very integral to the lore of Star Wars, both in Legends and canon. Little fun fact, the Clone Wars is, except for Season 7, everything you see in the Clone Wars lives concurrently within the Legends and Disney continuity. So, if so much can happen in such a small window of time within the Star Wars timeline, just what else could have happened, say, between Episode 1 and 2, when Obi-Wan takes Anakin in as his young ward, as his apprentice, to take over the teachings of Qui-Gon, even though he knows he's not going to be able to really provide for Anakin in the way that Qui-Gon would have. You know, the mind can go to so many places, and I am going to dedicate a lot of episodes to the what-if aspect of Star Wars, because most certainly I am not the first, I am not the only Star Wars podcast out there, so we're going to get creative with this. What I would like to do at this moment now is just to talk a bit about me. I am in my mid-20s. I am currently residing within Austin, Texas. It is beautiful outside. It is beautiful. Probably not going to stay here much longer. Probably within the next year I'll be moving. But that is a bit about me. How I got into Star Wars. My earliest Star Wars related memory is my family taking me one day into a Blockbuster. Yeah, you remember those? We went into this Blockbuster back in my hometown of Brownsville. We went in there, and every Friday or Saturday, my family would go into a Blockbuster, and we would rent movies. And once I got to the age where I can, like, have to communicate, to have a preference, to communicate that I have preferences, to, you know, reach out and say, like, I want this toy, I want that toy, I want to see this movie, this cartoon, I, for some reason, it had to be 1999 or probably early 2000, just purely based on logic, because I remember we went to the far western like, wall of the store. And I wasn't that very tall. I'm tall right now. I'm about 6'2", 3". It all depends. Nurses can, nurses are notoriously short, so when they try to put that little thing in your head to measure your height, you know, when it comes to me, they just give up. They're like, I'm gonna eyeball it. 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". So I'm about, let's just call it 6'2". Anyway, back then when I was a little squirt, I just to the level of my face, I saw the VHS sleeved copy of Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. And I didn't know jack shit about Star Wars. So I see it, and I see the box art, and I see, you know, this little kid, you know, that kind of looked like me. You know, not really. If you were to look at me, or look at photos of me back then, and, you know, you would say that's bullshit. But, you know, he was a little kid, a little boy like me. So that immediately caught my attention. And then you had these, you know, weird figures in the background. You have the beautiful artwork. I wish I could give credit to the artist right now, but it's a. The artist is very notorious. He's made a lot of box covers, especially in the 80s and 90s, and some, I think some in the thousands. I'm not too sure. Anyway, beautiful artwork, and you see, like, this Jesus figure, Qui-Gon, right? You see him, and you see Darth Maul, and there's just so many colors, and just a small little VHS sleeve, and immediately, just on that, I'm like, this is... I want to watch this, whatever this is. There's a lot of wonder and adventure packed into this little portrait. You know, who knows what else is in this movie? And from there, that's just the beginning of the end. And that's how I fell in love with Star Wars. And I remember when we rented that movie. I saw that movie... How long did you have? I think you had like a week to watch it, then you had to return it, otherwise you incur late penalties. I saw that movie no less than 4 or 5 times from beginning to end. Granted, I didn't know a lot of the words. Granted, I didn't know a lot of what was happening. Granted, I didn't really follow along with the political intrigue and the, you know, the ethereal... the mystery of the Force and what it means to be a Jedi and the Sith, but nevertheless, it was just so much to take in a positive way that I loved it and I can never put it down. And as I said, my family, we rented movies very often, so when it was time to give them back the VHS tape so that they can return it, I would do so willingly. When it came to this movie, I remember, like, I was a sneaky SOB. So you would see the box cover of movies at VHS box covers when you're at the Blockbuster. But when you actually, like, take it to the checkout table, they don't give you the box cover. They put it in, like, the how do you describe it? It's like when you buy a pre-owned game from GameStop, and the original seller did not give the original case, right? So they put it, so you want to buy this pre-owned game, which didn't come in the original case. The GameStop didn't acquire the original case, but obviously they're not just going to hand you the disc, right? So they're going to put it in another case, just a generic case with probably literally in the slip where the box cover art is supposed to be, it'll just be like a white piece of paper, and in marker it will say the game, let's say Star Wars or Resident Evil or Call of Duty. It's kind of the same concept. You would have like a generic paper slip, a generic box cover, and in marker or even typed out, you would have Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace, or it would be abbreviated. So, sly little me, what I would do is I would get another movie. I had a bunch of, like, cartoons. I had, like, Lion King. I had a bunch of, like, Disney-esque VHS tapes. What I did is I took out, I think it was the Lion King, VHS, put it into the box cover that was supposed to house the Star Wars VHS, and I gave that to my mom, and I hid away the Star Wars tape in like the back of my a movie cabinet in the living room. And that was, I think, the first time in my life, actually, or at least the first time I can remember, where I lied to my parents. So if that shows you just how much of an impact Star Wars made to me, just the first time I ran into it, I was willing to lie, or at least make the biggest lie I had made in my entire life, purely because of the influence that that movie had on me. And from there, you can extrapolate the influence that that movie, that that franchise, this beautiful series had on my life. So, how I came about wanting to make this show, the next two sections are very much related to each other. Oh, and actually the subject of the hour just texted me. Hold up. This may be a good time to take a break. So, as I kind of spoiled, these next two segments of this episode are explaining, they're going to explain my reasons, how I came into making this podcast, and who influenced me to make it. And it is to this person that I dedicate every episode of this podcast from here on out. This podcast, every episode, the fact that I'm here. So my girlfriend of 5 years, I plan on proposing very soon. She is a nurse. She is a beautiful, wonderful human being, a beautiful, hardworking, very hardworking nurse. And she recently started a podcast of her own called The Wonders of Nursing. And she, like I, probably not to the same extent as me, though, we're very shy. We're very shy individuals. But kind of paradoxically, we want to be heard. We want to be heard, and we like to teach. And in the end, we like to, you know, give people a platform to speak their voices. And we do this for the betterment of each other, for everyone involved, for the community. And I saw her make this podcast. I saw how happy she was, you know, telling people about what it was like going through nursing school, being a nurse, the day-to-day aspects of it, the blood, the sweat, the tears, and just seeing her teach, hearing her teach. That sparked something in me, and that made me want to do the same. Now, I guess a bit more about me. I am currently a law student. You can kind of guess where, based on where I told you where I live currently, and my current, you know, status as a student. But I don't want to teach about the law. I will be a lawyer. That will be my profession. But I am not a lawyer. When people ask me who I am, what makes me special, I'm not going to say I am a lawyer. When people say, who is Mike Joseph, I'm not going to say I am a lawyer. If they ask me what I do, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm a lawyer. But in the end, that's not who I am. I am, you know, I'm a man. I am a family man. I am someone who cares about those who care for him. I am a huge video game nerd. I am a massive cinephile. And I love Star Wars, among many other fandoms. Who knows, this podcast may be inclusive to other fandoms in the future, but for now, we're going to keep it to Star Wars. And, you know, currently me and my girlfriend, we're living separated. And it can be very hard on the relationship. I can tell you so many horror stories, so many war stories of the trials and the tribulations that a man and a woman, or not even that, let's be inclusive about what a significant other and another significant other have to go through just to be together, to be in each other's lives, to be in each other's thoughts, to have some semblance of normalcy when you are separated by distance. And it's to the point where it affects our sleep schedules, our ability to just calm our minds and fall asleep and pray that we're going to wake up the next day happy. And for the last 2 years, back up a bit. At one point, my girlfriend, she asked me to, given that I'm a massive geek about everything, but particularly Star Wars, she's like, talk to me about Star Wars. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, just tell me anything. Just anything, Mike. Tell me anything about Star Wars. So, I get started by talking about the Mandalorian Wars. And she doesn't know the first thing about the Mandalorians. I don't think the Mandalorian wasn't teased at this point, nor has she seen the Mandalorian. The only Mandalorian she saw, or she knew about, was, what we originally thought was Jango and Boba Fett. But in the new canon, they're not. So, little tip there. So I talked about it, and I talked about how Disney could potentially incorporate it into the new canon. And usually when I talk about a thing of fandom, when I talk about, say, Call of Duty, Resident Evil, PlayStation games, Batman, the DC Universe, Marvel Universe, she's very receptive. And she pays a lot of attention, but something was different when I talked about Star Wars, when I talked about the Mandalorian Wars, when I inevitably came to talk about the Jedi Kyber crystals, about Darth Vader. She not only was receptive, but she was responsive. She asked questions. She wanted to know more. And that made me very happy, and that became a little tradition of ours. And as happy as I'm going to be to marry this woman, to finally no longer be separated from her, to live in the same household, in a way, I'm kind of sad that I'm not going to have so much of an excuse to tell her these stories. Or I'm probably going to tell her these stories while we're together, but, you know, these storytelling sessions came about as necessity, and that necessity will not be there when we end up being together. If and when we do have a kid, for sure I'm going to be telling these as bedtime stories, but that's not going to happen in the immediate future. So, she suggested, and I agreed, that, you know, in light of me wanting to teach and wanting to bring together a community to help others, and in many ways to help myself to learn how to speak, given that I'm going to become a lawyer, to speak to people, that I make a podcast about Star Wars. And among many of the ideas that she said I should work with was do a what-if scenario. What if Padme decided, what if Anakin, when on episode 3, minor spoilers if you haven't seen it, but you clicked on this episode, so, and you've listened this long, so I don't think that's necessary. Anyway, so what if shortly before Obi-Wan steps down from Padme's ship on Mustafar, what if Anakin successfully manages to persuade Padme to go with him, that he successfully manages to persuade her that he is in the right, that he can protect her, that the Jedi cannot be trusted, and that, you know, in the end, he's still Annie, her little Annie. Padme is a severely underappreciated character in the Star Wars lore, and it took my, you know, watching the entire series with my girlfriend recently to understand and come to appreciate Natalie Portman and Padme's importance in the Star Wars mythos. Padme, I believe, if I were to ask my girlfriend, and believe me, she will be a guest on this show, who her favorite character is and why, it is without a doubt Padme. And we'll get into that later. I'm not going to spoil it. I have my girlfriend to thank for this, for getting me, giving me the courage, giving me the idea, giving me the strength, being with me for these last 5 years to make this podcast. And I dedicate this first episode and every episode that comes from here on out to her. And I hope that in the future, even when we're together, and for whatever reason, if we should ever be apart, like if I'm in the courtroom and she just wants to hear my voice, whatever, that she can, you know, click on one of these old episodes and hear my voice and, you know, be able to fall asleep peacefully hearing my voice talking about the Mandalorian Wars, talking about Darth Plagueis the Wise and all that stuff. And so the last thing, just this is very much a test run episode, but the last thing I would like to talk about is what Star Wars means to me. We already know how I came to fall in love with this franchise, but I would like to talk about my perception of the series. To me, I think you can summarize Star Wars as a story of family and a story of wonder, that all things are possible. It is a story of family and wonder and imagination. So let's cut that down. Let's break it down. Family. On its face, you can just, I mean, literally now Disney just recently called, they labeled episode 1 through 9, the Skywalker saga. So you have a argument on its face that the series is about the Star Wars. It is about the Skywalker family. It is about Luke. It is about Anakin. And it is, I guess by adoption, about Rey. And you're not wrong. But let's break it down even further. We can dedicate entire episodes to this. So this is just a test run. This is just about my reasoning and not so much about the merits of this argument. And best be sure I'm going to be talking about this, but to me, when I say that this is about family, I am saying that to be in a family, you don't need to be of a certain bloodline. To be in a family, you don't need, you know, you don't need necessarily a mother, a father, you know, a brother, a sister, or son, daughter. Family is who is around you and who cares about you. Family is those you surround yourself with. Family is, you know, family is who you would go across the stars, across the galaxy, across the universe for. So when you think about that, you notice, you come to view each character, their motivations, the weight of their actions, very differently. You see it very differently in a whole new light. And in many ways, it it brings me more at peace with the decision that Rey is now a Skywalker. I will be dedicating an episode to this, but basically I'm going to say that Rey is pretty much a bloodline Skywalker. Kind of tangentially, but also somewhat genetically. I'll get into the technicalities of that in another episode, but basically Rey, you know, Daisy Ridley's Rey, she was taken in by Leia and Luke, and you know, even though she, many would say she's not a bloodline Skywalker, she nevertheless was accepted as such, and she was invited into the fold. So regardless of whoever says, you know, Rey is not a Skywalker, she is not of the blood, she's a Mary Sue, I beg to differ. If a couple decides not to have children, or they cannot have children, and they adopt one, and they love them with all their heart, and they teach them, you know, how to live, how to act in the cold, cruel world, and for all intents and purposes, legally, religiously, culturally, socially, that child is considered their own. I don't see why Rey cannot be considered part of the Skywalker family. And even when before Han married, you know, Leia, between before he married Leia, so that's literally from episode 4 up until some time before, I guess, their divorce, and before episode 7, he, Chewie, Lando, they're all part of the Skywalker family, and that they are the people that Luke surrounded with, that Luke surrounded himself with. They are the people that Luke trusted, that Luke and Leia, because technically they are both Skywalkers. They put their absolute faith in them. They would go to the ends of the universe for them. They would go about, you know, just look at Empire Strikes Back, the time between Empire Strikes Back and The Last Jedi. They will go across the galaxy searching for each other, even though, you know, even though common wisdom and, you know, just modern, you know, thought, pessimistic thought, modern cynicism, skepticism about other people would tell you to let go, they would go across the universe, the galaxy, for each other. And I'm talking about Luke, Leia, Chewie, and Lando looking for Han Solo after Han was frozen in carbonite and Darth Vader handed him over to Boba so that he may therefore hand him to Jabba on Tatooine. You can make the... they are friends. They're very close friends. But I'm going to go further and say that even before Han married Leia, he was part of the Skywalker family. That he, Chewie, and Lando were part of the family. Family is who you surround yourself with. Family is the people who love you and the people you love. That's family. And the last thing I want to say about what I see in the Star Wars franchise is that it is a franchise of wonder, and it inspires creation, and it inspires imagination. When me and my girlfriend inevitably have our child, I'm already thinking about this, I've overthought it, but I'm not going to have them watch it in chronological order. I'm going to have our child begin watching Star Wars, starting from episode 4, A New Hope. And I'll tell you why. Because in episode 1, Anakin, our focal point, our anchor, if you will, to the franchise at that point, the main character, the person we care about most, he is already, you know, he's already in a position where he is someone special. He is someone with a destiny. He is someone with an important bloodline. He is, you know, his blood is, you know, flooded with midichlorians. The density of the midichlorians, it's already spoiled that he is the most powerful person in the entire freaking galaxy at that point. And he hasn't even done anything besides a pod race. Actually, I need to go back. I'm not sure when Qui-Gon does the blood test. I'm pretty sure it was before the pod race. But basically, there's already a sense of destiny. There's a sense of expectation. You know, there's a sense of royalty about him. With Luke, even though we know, just based on Wikipedia, just based on what we tell each other, based on common knowledge, we know that he is of a bloodline. But I'm not going to tell my son or my daughter, I'm not going to tell them that. I'm going to have them go in fresh into the universe, into the Star Wars franchise, the Star Wars universe. And the person that they're going to first identify with is Luke Skywalker. Besides what we know by common knowledge, when you watch Star Wars A New Hope with fresh eyes, Luke Skywalker is nobody. He's nothing. He is a farmer boy, a moisture farmer. He is someone with a lot of ambition. He is someone who wants to get out into the world, into the universe, as it were. And he wants to make a change. He wants to go on an adventure. He wants to explore. He wants to see what lies beyond the binary sunset. It is when you see Luke, you know, step out after arguing with his uncle Owen. You know, he storms out. It is the evening. The sun is setting. He sees the twin sunsets. He is angry. He's furious. He's never going to leave. He's locked in Tatooine. He's locked in his current predicament. But then he sees the binary sunset, and then you have the beautiful, beautiful melody by John Williams. You know, it begins, you know, it's slow. Do, 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 you know, you see his face, you know, and all of a sudden he's no longer angry. He's no longer frustrated. He's no longer mad, you know. Something calming, something reassuring, you know, something calm and reassuring comes over him. And all of a sudden, you know, you have the, I hate calling it this, but this is, I'm a millennial, okay? I already told you how old I am. You get like the bass drop. You get the drop, if you will. Do 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 do. And all of a sudden, you see like happiness. You see excitement. You see wonder, or you know, hope for wonder, if you will. You see, you know, imagination, creativity. You see adventure lying beyond the horizon. And that is exactly what I see in Star Wars. You look at those twin suns, you see them setting, and you and your couch, you kind of hit a meta moment where you're like, I am watching a movie. I am watching a movie. And I identify with this kid so much, and I see two suns in the distance. This, not only does this, you know, not only does it tell me that I, you know, it's not to think of myself or anyone listening to this as insignificant, but someone who is in a current position, who wants to be in a better position, you can do anything. You can go anywhere. Whatever situation, whatever scenario you're in, whatever predicament you're in, whatever life has given you, whatever hand you've been dealt,
that's not the end of the story. In fact, if you so choose, if you're open to it, life can give you another hand. Life can give you something else to work with. The story is only just beginning. And there's so many things beyond the horizon, beyond the binary sunset, that you cannot believe is about to happen to you. And then, of course, you kind of transition out of that meta moment and you apply that to Luke Skywalker and you realize, oh, he is in. We, the viewers, are in for one hell of a ride. And then, of course, you get the rest of the events of the movie. You get episodes 5 and 6. And then I'll go back, take our kid to episodes 1, 2, and 3 so that you get the backstory, the backdrop of, you know, the rest of the Star Wars universe, kind of, you know, set the stage, give more context to the events that happened, that came before, but in a way happened in the future. It's kind of weird how George Lucas did the movies, but you know what? Star Wars itself is weird. Star Wars itself is one of a kind. It's a unique creation. And then from there, we can go into the sequels, which I do have a opinion on. And many will agree with it, and many will disagree with it. But my kids will watch it, and in the end, I hope that they, too, get inspired by the events that happened in that movie. And in the end, if Rey is the person they identify with the most, so be it. Star Wars is for everyone. Star Wars is a story of wonder, of family. And in whatever way those lessons come across to my girlfriend, to me, my child, so be it. And with that note, I will be ending this first episode of Mandalore, the Esquire's Tales, Legends, and Theories. I know that kind of got hot and heavy for just one episode, but I want to just show you how seriously I'm taking this. And if this is too serious for you, I appreciate your time here, and I thank you for listening, and I hope you reconsider in the future. But either way, I'm glad you clicked on just to listen. And if this is something you like, if you are into this sort of deep conversation and you would like to see it applied in a more fun context, like what would happen if Padme took Anakin's hand, or what if Batman joined the Star Wars universe, or what if the Yuuzhan Vong were to invade after Rey has come and reestablished the new Jedi Order, then I highly recommend you stick around and stay tuned for the next episode. So, right now, my podcast is called Mandalore the Esquire. If you would like to see more about my theories, ruminations, philosophies, I highly recommend that you follow me on Reddit. I have been a lurker for the last almost 4 years, and only recently I have just been hit with amazing ideas, theories, and proposals, if you will, for the franchise. And so you can follow me on Reddit. I am Fist of Thrawn. That is capital F, then you spell out the rest of Fist, lowercase, underscore of, all of that. All of that is lowercase Thrawn with the T capitalized. Fist of Thrawn on Reddit. And I recently created a Tumblr, again called Mandalore the Esquire. I think it may be Mandalore the Esquire Gamer, but by the time you listen to this, it's probably already changed to Mandalore the Esquire. From there, I will be re-submitting my Reddit posts onto Tumblr, just so a wider audience can get it. That is going to be my blog. I have no interest in paying for a blog, so I'm just going to post it on Tumblr. And the latest posts I made on my Reddit recently were what I think Starkiller, where I think Galen Merrick, the Starkiller, can fit in the new canon. And boy, I have a ton of theories to give you. I have a ton. You're gonna love it. guaranteed. And yesterday I posted another post about how I think Disney should tackle the question of casting Revan in the new Disney Star Wars canon in the new Old Republic series or movie or whatever media they decide to go with. So those may be the topics of my next episodes, followed by just I think the first like lore video, the first tale video I'll do is the Mandalorian Wars, just in just because that is a story I like going back to, and that is a story I recently retouched upon with my girlfriend. So I think that would be a nice tale to start off with. All right, so with that, I will be ending this episode. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you stick around, and I hope you have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.